lacrosse fans, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Hive. I am Jake Kelly, your voice of the Minnesota Swarm, and your host, and joined as always by my good friend Alex Shimke of MNSwarm.com. Alex, two great guests on the show coming up in Callum Crawford and Greg Downing, but let's get to the last couple of games, and probably more importantly, Alex, some more hardware coming the Swarm's way as McIntosh, Crawford, and Jackson all picking up weekly awards once again.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what the Minnesota Swarm has been able to do this season as far as the weekly awards go. Second consecutive week that now we've had a trio of Swarm players pick up the weekly awards. Callum Crawford defending his Offensive Player of the Week award. McIntosh, likewise, transition. And the team winning Rookie of the Week again this week, Jake, but this time Shane Jackson picks it up.
Yeah, you got to figure Callum Crawford probably the odds-on favorite for winning Player of the Month coming up as well, and McIntosh continues to gather those as well. And, you know, the team in that department, Alec, has done better than any other team in the league, I think, picking up more awards than any other team so far in the season.
That's right, yep. The Swarm, we've won 15 Player of the Week awards. That's a league high. Crawford leads the league with 3 Offensive Player of the Week awards. McIntosh, 4 Transition Player of the Week awards. I could go on and on. We have the most Rookie of the Week awards. I was joking with Coach Sullivan. He said he wouldn't mind trading a few of those awards in, though, for a couple more wins, Jake.
Yeah, and speaking of a couple more wins, 2 more games to go in the season, and something we'll talk about with Callum Crawford coming up. But let's get back to the past 2 games that we played, the doubleheader weekend, first at home against the Buffalo Bandits, and Alec, a game where the Swarm set a team franchise record, scoring 21 goals in this one. And I don't know about you and how many games you've seen like that, but it was a very fun game, let's say, for me to call.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever had a better game in franchise history offensively than that one. You know, everything was clicking on all cylinders, 21 goals, setting a team record only a week after we had set it against the Wings, putting up 20. 14 goal differential, another team record there. So, you know, everyone was clicking. You had over 10 players scoring again. Jake, the offense on a rhythm. Defensively, too, Tyler Carlson was lights out again, only allowing 7 goals.
Yeah, Carlson continues to have his strong play. I thought David Earle was pretty exceptional on that one. He was just a man on a mission, loose balls all over the field in that one, and getting up in transition as well. And I commented during the game that he just continues to impress. The more experience that he gets, the better he gets.
He's had an outstanding season. In the back of my mind, was kind of a sleeper pick this year to kind of break out. And, you know, what he's done, energy-wise out on the transition side defensively, you know, it's been top-notch this season, loose balls, you know, scoring on the transition opportunities, Jake. And, you know, another interesting player there, he's a guy with limited box experience. Remember when we talked to him last year on the show, and he's really improved very quickly.
Of course, another 5 goals for Jordan McIntosh in that game as well. And no sophomore slump for Jordan McIntosh this season. Right up there again in loose balls and faceoffs won, and another strong campaign for McIntosh in his second season.
Yeah, he's a guy that seems to just keep improving week in and week out, setting a record for goals 2 weeks ago against Philly, you know, notching 4. He comes back a week later, Jake, against Buffalo, puts up 5. Even when he's not scoring, you know, which he didn't have a goal against the Wings on Sunday, you know, he still picks up 18 loose balls and wins 70% of his faceoffs. So the guy fills up the stat sheets every week.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that Philadelphia game, Alec, because, you know, we come off that high win against Buffalo, and boys feeling good, but, you know, a tough travel. Philadelphia had to travel too, but only from Rochester, so they didn't have to change time zones as the Swarm did. But I didn't have a chance to get to that game, Alec, but you did. You know, give me your take on that game. It looked to me as I watched that at home that, you know, they battled so hard, but it looks like they just kind of ran out of gas in the end of that one. As you know, a tough turnaround, an afternoon game after a night game, and just kind of ran out of gas in that one.
Yeah, I think you put it well there, and it looks like Callum just jumped on the line. We'll get his take on this one as well. But, you know, going into halftime up 8-6, you know, things looked pretty well. We had that outstanding goal from Jay Card to give us some good momentum. The loose balls, I think the stat was we won something 89-59, so we were outworking them in that category. We're getting enough shots. It just seemed to be they had a couple runs, particularly in the fourth quarter when they got those three quick goals and kind of killed our momentum. And like you said, just kind of ran out of gas. But good question to ask Callen in that one. I know he had some cramping in that game. Nonetheless, he still puts up four goals and four assists.
Yeah, we'll get to Callum Crawford momentarily here, and I know that alarmed a few people via Twitter as I was following along there as he went down. We'll ask him about that as well, but we're ready to have him on, and our first guest here is now the acting captain of the Swarm. He's been on an absolute tear over the last four or five games, also the host of the Showtime at the Downtowner. It's Callum Showtime Crawford. Croft, are you there?
I'm here, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, doing well. How are you doing? Let's get right into that, Cal. I know you went down with some cramping there on Sunday afternoon. How's the body feeling?
Body's good. We were sore. I think everybody was sore after the two games. Anytime you play two lacrosse games in less than 24 hours, your body's gonna feel it the next day. Mine happened to feel it a little bit earlier than some other people, but I'm doing well now, taking care of my body and ready for this weekend.
Back in Ottawa, Ontario, I got to ask you, what's going on with the weather back there? I heard there was a weather report coming in of some extreme weather back east. Are you going to get a piece of that or not?
Yeah, we are. We're going to get hit Thursday night through Friday, so it'll be interesting to see how it affects us at the airport.
Yeah, right. Denver coming up this weekend. We'll keep our fingers crossed you get out of there, but Let's start out, Cal, about talking about your stuff away from the game of lacrosse a little bit. I know you've bought a new house over the last little while. How's life going outside the boards?
A little bit stressful. Myself and my girlfriend, actually, we bought ourselves a new house, which is in the process of just starting to be built. So having to deal with some things at the design center is it's interesting when you have to do that with somebody else and you have different visions of certain things. So it's been an entertaining few weeks since we've been dealing with those things, but it's come together pretty well. And, it's something we've been able to have some fun with as well. So it's good and it's exciting.
Very stylish man that you are. Is the better half giving you some input on some of the architecture or some of the design features that you want in there? Or are you just kind of nodding and agreeing with that?
More on the nodding and agreeing part, to be honest. I'll put my input in, but let's be real. I think we all know as men, our input only is good for so much.
You're also doing some personal training, and you've started working with a new lacrosse company, TLAX, I believe the name of that. Why don't you tell us about what TLAX is all about and what you're doing for those guys?
Yeah, so I'm on board with a new company that's up and coming. Haven't really launched yet. In the process of still getting everything done, but they're called Traditional Lacrosse. Great, great concept with the company, which I was really fond to be a part of. Is they're really about trying to teach the history of the game while they're being a lacrosse company with it, trying to bring back the roots of the game and the culture of the game from where it came from to where it is now. Not neglecting anything from along the way. And so it's really good for myself and the learning aspect. I get to learn quite a bit about the history of the game and stuff like that, which is great. And I get to help educate, hopefully a lot of the people along the way throughout it, and having some input with designs and stuff like that has just been a lot of fun, really interesting, and such a great learning experience for me.
Yeah, I know some of the guys have worn the swag around the team. It looks like good stuff, and I'm a bit of a history buff when it comes to the game of lacrosse. I played with the old traditional wood sticks, and it's always kind of something that the native aspect of it is always something I've been interested in. So that's a pretty neat endeavor that you're embarking on there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, you'll be able to appreciate a lot of the stuff that comes out, and I think a lot of people will. It'll be different than what people have experienced, and there's just some really great people who are behind it and, have the right intentions with a company like that. So it's not all about just trying to go out and make a company to make money. It's actually about to build a game, build a sport, and educate along the way. So it's great.
Now, we'll jump ahead a little bit. The summer season coming up, I know you've told me you got some coaching going on. Why don't you tell the fans what exactly you're going to be coaching, who you're going to be coaching, where you're going to be coaching, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm in Ottawa. I'm doing a lot of stuff with trying to grow the game, improve the quality of the sport here in Ottawa itself. Not a very big hotbed for lacrosse, hasn't been for a long time, but we have really good, strong minor organizations, which, you know, they've done a great job building the sport at the minor level, recruiting kids and tons of kids within the organization. So myself and some partners have come in at the junior level to take over one of the junior B teams in the PN Knights junior B team. And myself and my brother and potentially Kyle Buchanan from Washington are going to be on the coaching staff to really try to, you know, improve the quality of the sport, kind of let them learn at a different level, have somebody different than just a parent or somebody that, you know, hasn't really played the game in a long time, help with the kids and try to relate with the kids and try to, you know, try to improve the opportunity for kids. The main thing for us getting involved wasn't so much about trying to create a winning program. Our goal was to just come and provide opportunity for kids to play beyond here, play beyond junior B and potentially still play after they graduate junior. A lot of people don't tend to keep playing when they're done playing junior in Ottawa. It tends to be the end of their career. And it really doesn't need to be because there's so many different areas to play senior lacrosse and there's school and who knows, you know, maybe even we can get some kids to hopefully play at our level at the National Lacrosse League. So the goal was really to just improve the quality of opportunity for kids. And, you know, we're really committed to doing that. And as we've told a lot of the kids and the parents and everything, wins come second. And if we can improve the quality for the kids, you know, those things will change itself. So
that's an absolutely awesome attitude to have. And those kids sound very lucky to have you guys. I also mentioned in the intro, you're the host of Showtime at the Downtowner. We've seen a couple of come out so far, but I hear you got a very extra special guest coming up in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, it's been fun. We've done some more of the shooting this year. A little different than last year, trying to, you know, let people learn some different players. That's why we don't tend to select the same people all the time. And I was lucky to interview you, actually. I was able to get you on there, and I think that'll be something a lot of the viewers will be able to have a good laugh at and enjoy.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was leading you with that, so I appreciate you teeing me up like that. You seem pretty comfortable in front of the camera and asking questions, and is that something that you possibly thought about doing after your playing time?
No, I never have. If those opportunities come up, who knows? You know, it's just, I've never had a problem people laughing at me, and I figure that's mostly what that show is about, is people laughing, taking a look at me and laughing at me. So, you know, I'm not really a shy person. I'm all about having some fun and trying to get some laughs. So it's fun for me, and who knows, if I get to be in front of a camera later on in my life, I'm sure that'll be fun too.
Well, you do a great job with it, and I'm looking forward to more episodes coming out. Let's get into the season here, Cal. You know, you got off to a bit of a slow start, probably by your standards. You battled a bit of a hamstring injury early in the season, but 44 points, I believe, over the last five games on an absolute tear. I don't think I've seen a player on the kind of roll that you've been over the last four or five games. Maybe just talk about your season, you know, at the beginning and where you're at now and kind of what's been the difference over the last little bit.
I think at the start there was, you know, we had a little bit of a learning curve. I think our young guys had a huge impact on our team right from the beginning, and we all had to build some chemistry together. So I think offensively, you know, we had some shining moments. We had some low moments. You know, we were just really building that chemistry from scratch with a lot of these new guys. You know, I don't really dictate success on a season for a player based on statistics. Obviously, that's a great measure to see how you do. But, you know, I might not have been having my name associated to as many goals, but our offense was still producing at times, which was great, and I got to be a part of that. Lately, you know, my name has been associated to them. I've been getting the points, and which is great, and I've been able to have a good impact in that sense. But, again, it's I'm the lucky one here who gets to play with such great players. You know, I got to have a quick talk with youngster Kiel Matisse this past weekend, and I got to express to him how I really, really enjoy playing with him. I think, you know, our management's done a great job of putting myself and him together, who have such two different styles but complement each other so well. And that's been a big part of our success, is we've been able to feed off of each other's abilities and rely on each other for our success. So I think that's been the basis of our offense, is, you know, I've had my name associated to points, but again, it's all the credits to all the guys they get to play with. They're the ones who are doing such an amazing job. Young guys are, you know, playing like seasoned vets. Ryan Dinesh is as amazing as he always is. You know, our second-year players are battling, doing great. It's just, I'm benefiting from playing with such great players, and, you know, my hat's off to them for doing so well, and I hope they realize if, you know, if I do something well in the stat sheet, that's because of them, and it's not really just because of myself.
In that time, you've had the C placed on New Jersey with suits going down. You know, for some players, that pressure might be a little too much, but it seems like you've kind of thrived off that added responsibility. You think that's fair to say? It seems like your game's kind of gone up another level since you put that C on.
Maybe a little bit. I think I lost the first two or three with it on, so I was worried at first that maybe I was bad luck for that. You know, we've had some success lately. Unfortunately, the last one we lost that, you know, we really could have used. But it's been an easy transition because Suter's still there. Suter's still our captain. He's still the voice in that dressing room. You know, we've missed him on the floor, but we haven't missed his leadership, and it's still there. I get to still play the same role that I have. You know, I'm vocal in my own parts. I don't need to go above and beyond what I've been doing. I get to stay in the same, pretty much the same role as I am, because Andrew is such a great leader. He doesn't have to be on the floor to lead us, and he's proven it to us every weekend. You know, when you see us come out and been having success, you know, it's his leadership that's really feeding it. We've got a locker room full of leaders, which is helping me with that as well. We've just got such a great locker room of guys that, you know, I have the C on it, which is great, and I get to be called the captain, but it's just, you know, we've got a room full of captains, and our main leader is still there along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Something, you know, I had a chat with Steven Stamp the other day on his show, and, you know, we started talking about you and kind of the pace that you've been on lately, but, you know, what kind of has impressed me more than anything, Callum, is I think, you know, over the last two or three years, your maturity level has come up. And he mentioned to me during one of the exhibition games, I believe, in Toronto, where, you know, the game was virtually over, but you still found it in yourself to run down a rookie in reverse transition and strip him from behind. And, you know, I mentioned to him that I don't think they would have saw that play out of Callum Crawford 3 or 4 years ago, but it really seems your maturity level has gone to another level. Is there something that maybe in your career or in your life that has kind of changed that inside you, that, you know, you're starting to do the little things more for the team?
I'm getting older, and, you know, you are saying the right thing. It's maturing. It's me realizing how important and how badly I really, really want to win a championship, not just for myself, but for the organization and more for the guys in the locker room I'm with. It's, you know, it you really start to realize those things as you get older and you've been in the league for a while. I've, you know, this is my eighth season in the NLL and I've yet to have one. It really puts things in perspective, and it makes you as a player really want to do whatever is needed and whatever it takes to do that. If that's, you know, scoring goals, so be it. If that's, you know, me chasing somebody down, so be it. Whatever it takes to win. And I think when you're younger, you don't tend to look at things that way. It's not that you don't value it as much, but I think you just don't realize it. You tend to think of success based on personal statistics, whether you're playing well or not, and those things. And, you know, when you get older, you realize really it's about championships. It's about leaving your mark on the game. And the best way to do that is by winning championships with a great group of guys. And that's what I've learned that I want more than anything. I've been able to express that to people within the organization when they, you know, they do congratulate me about statistical things, that, you know, it's really not the focus. I do appreciate it, but until we win a championship, you know, we haven't done our job in Minnesota, and just trying to keep that focus. And that's been the main difference, is just big desire to wanting to win, and not so much of wanting to be, you know, this top scorer.
Well, that's great advice for all young players breaking in the league, not just on our team. And, you know, it's a fantastic attitude. Let's get into the last weekend here, Cal. Two big games. The first one, a huge win over Buffalo. You know, we set a team record in goals, and then a quick turnaround going into Philadelphia to play an afternoon game. Did the travel, you know, play a big factor in that game, or what do you think the biggest difference between the two games was?
You know, I think we both had to deal with the travel, so I don't think we can really use that as a mark of, you know, what was the difference in that one. You know, I think they got some bounces. They really needed that win as much as we did. And, you know, I think they may have dug a little bit deeper in the end there to come out with it. It wasn't that we weren't prepared. I think, you know, looking at it in another perspective, it could be a really good thing for our young team to have maybe dropped a game like that after coming off such big victories a few weekends before. You can see before when you win some big numbers like we have, you can tend to start trying to coast or thinking, you know, the work ethic doesn't need to be there quite as much. And I think potentially this loss to Philadelphia will bring us back to reality. Not that it wasn't important and we didn't need it extremely. Of course we did, but I think it'll fire the guys up to get back to doing all the little things and how important every little battle in every facet of the game is. So I'm hoping that, you know, that loss will be a gut check and it'll actually do a lot more good than it did bad.
Yeah, and that leads us into the final two games, and both of them come up against the Colorado Mammoth. The first one coming in Denver, and, you know, a place I've been a couple of times now. Cal, you've been there much more than I have, but it's a very loud building, and it can be an intimidating building at times. What's the keys to getting at Colorado? Is it getting off to an early start and maybe getting to the young goaltender, Ty Bellage, early?
I think it's the same keys that we enter in every game. We've got a game plan going into the game, and if we execute our game plan and everyone plays their role, that, you know, we can be successful. I think we've got such a great enough team, actually, that if we worry about what we do more than, you know, what do we need to change for this specific team, I think we can be very successful. I think we've got the right tools in place to be successful, regardless of who we're playing. I think we match up well with anybody. So it's all about what we do ourselves. Is can we perform at the level we need to? Can we remember to do our jobs and remember to stay to our game plan? And that'll be the difference in both games. Not that, you know, not taking anything away from Colorado. They're a great team. They've got some incredible scores. You know, they've got potentially one of the greatest of all time, John Grant, on that team. So it's not to say that they don't have, you know, weapons to pose a threat. I'm just very confident that we have the right pieces in place to be successful, that it's in our own hands to, you know, create that success.
Yeah, and that's something that Joe Sullivan and the coaching staff does a fantastic job of doing, is preparing that game plan for that specific team. You know, a game plan for, say, the Buffalo Bandits will be much different than it will be for the Colorado Mammoth. You know, although we stay within our systems and play our style, still to prepare for different teams, the coaching staff does a great job of that.
Yeah, they give us all the tools to be successful. We know that we're going to be prepared going into every game. So, you know, we have our own jobs as players to do our research and game tape to watch on our own time, but we know that the coaching staff that we have is going to have us prepared, have a game plan for us. And, you know, that's one great thing that Joe Sullivan and his coaching staff does, is they give us all the right things that we need to be successful. So there's no excuses at the end of the day that we weren't prepared. It's on us to execute within the things that they provide us.
Callum, we got through all the hard stuff. A great job with candid answers there. Now we get to have a little fun here. It's our segment we call Stingers here inside the Hive. It's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
I think so. Let's give her a go.
All right. Goals or assists?
Assists.
Rice or potatoes?
Potatoes.
Favorite hair product?
Moisturizer.
That's a trick question. The answer is no product. V-necks or turtlenecks?
V-necks.
BlackBerry or iPhone?
iPhone.
Favorite drill in practice?
Water.
Best Christmas gift as a kid?
Super Nintendo.
Ultimate golf foursome?
Myself, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Muhammad Ali.
Wow. All right. Jordan seems to be in everybody's. Do you know your own Twitter handle?
No, I don't.
It's at Capital Lax, just so you know. I don't know if you want to change that or not. If
no,
I, was,
I think
if
that
I was,
works.
Okay. I was thinking maybe Showtime, just personally. We're getting off topic. If I wasn't a lacrosse player, I would be?
Beach volleyball player.
Wow, yeah, I could see that. A little Top Gun action there, for sure.
Yeah.
Callum, awesome stuff. I appreciate you coming inside the Hive. I look forward to being on Showtime at the Downtowner, and hopefully you get out of Ottawa with that weather, and I see you in Denver in a couple of days.
For sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. That was Callum Crawford, 98 in your program. Mr. Showtime and Alec, what a terror Callum Crawford's been on. We've run out of adjectives to describe the kind of lacrosse he's playing lately, but it's been pretty phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I've ever seen anybody play this well in a Minnesota Swarm uniform in my time with the team. We're talking about five straight games with at least 8 points, three of his last four games with at least 4 goals, eight assists against Buffalo. He's tied his career high in points with 10 this year. I could go on and on looking at the stat sheet, and just seems to really have a new sense of confidence this year playing with everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I believe our next guest is ready to come inside the Hive here, Alec. Number 8, Greg Downing, is ready to come inside the Hive. Greg, are you there?
Indeed, I am. How's it going, fellas?
I appreciate it. It's going great. What's going on in Denver, Colorado right now?
Well, I'm just driving back from Vail, Colorado. Had my last doctor's appointment today for the old wheel. So, just driving back. Roads are okay. They had a little snowstorm come through last couple days here, but roads are good. Heading to lacrosse practice right now.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the wheel, so to speak, here momentarily. But your first time inside the Hive, so I have to ask you, how did you originally get your start playing lacrosse?
Let's see. I grew up playing hockey and baseball. Those were like my two big sports. And after a end of the year hockey party, a kid on my team had lacrosse sticks in his backyard, picked them up. Played for, I don't know, a good hour in the backyard and just fell in love with it. So, and I think that next summer, I was either in 7th or 8th grade. We had a little indoor thing in my town. Nothing like this indoor, more of like a field-style indoor. But played that for a summer and then got into field in 8th grade, and that was it.
You picked the game up a little later than most people in life. Ask this question with every guest that comes inside the Hive, and most of the answers, of course, being Canadian kids come, I was 4 or 5 years old. Interesting, you picked it up. You're probably the latest guy on the team to pick up the game of lacrosse, and to make it to the pro level starting that late in life doesn't happen very often.
You think I'm the latest? I don't know. I kind of judge that by stick skills. I like to see, some of the defensemen with the stick skills look like they start a little later in life than I did.
I'm not gonna
the egg and spooners, as Sully likes to call them, the egg and spooners.
Yeah, right. Now you went to Fairfield University. I have absolutely no idea where Fairfield is located. But tell me where that is, and then also how did you end up there, and what did you take at school?
Sure. Well, I majored in international business at Fairfield. It is in southern Connecticut, right on the Long Island Sound, about an hour north of New York City, around 45 to an hour. Well, traffic-wise, maybe 2 hours on some days, but a little north of New York City. Small school, it's 3,500 undergraduates. So that was actually one part of the college I enjoyed. It was a little bit of a smaller school, more of like a high school room, or a classroom setting at least, with 30, 40 students max. So I enjoyed that. And really, I actually hadn't heard about Fairfield I'm from Central New York originally. So a school in Connecticut, especially a small school like that, doesn't really jump out at people. But, I just got recruited playing lacrosse and went down. My cousin had actually, he's 2 years older than me, so he was there. I went down for a weekend and visited him and really just fell in love with the school. So everything worked out, financially as well. So that was it.
Yeah, and it's not, a major school, but I'm wondering, do you know if there's anyone else from the NLL that has made it out of Fairfield University to the National Lacrosse League?
In the NLL, that's I don't believe so. I hope I'm not offending anyone out there who's Pete Walkett. Well, I mean, there's been a few playing in the summer pro league, but I don't see
right.
any in the indoor. No.
Well, you must be a famous guy back at Fairfield University then to be the only.
I don't know about a famous guy, but I'm trying to represent. I try to represent Jumbo.
So yeah, you mentioned you're from Central New York, but now living in Denver. How did that come about? You know, you went to school in Connecticut, but now living in Denver. What brought you to Colorado, and what are you doing there now?
Well, I you know had been out here a couple times and just heard great things about the area. But I am going to actually just finish up graduate school here, so that was a big reason I drawn to the Denver area. I just finished up at Denver University in environmental policy and management. I got my master's in that. So been on the job hunt lately, and that's really what brought me here was school. So, and, you know, it's like coming from Central New York, I mean, all of the Northeast, really. I feel like even Toronto and, you know, all of New York, really, in the wintertime, it's just a lot of gray skies. I feel like people come out here and they think that Denver's all cold, but you'll get middle of February, middle of January weeks where it's a good 50, 55, people running outside in shorts and t-shirt on. So I really like that part about Denver as well.
So a fan of the weather, I gotcha. That can
fan of the weather.
I know we've talked a few times about you getting up to my neck of the woods, and you're going to have to come and check out that. A beautiful day here in BC.
I just heard good things about that area as well, so I've got to check that one off the list.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you need a place to stay, buddy, you got it. Let's get into your playing career a little bit here. You know, you originally come over from Boston in the dispersal draft with Mitch Belisle, and, you know, I guess at that point you didn't know where you were going to end up, and you get selected by Minnesota. How has your time been in Minnesota? I know we'll get to the knee injury a bit. That's probably a bit of a downside to it. But, you know, just talk about your playing time in Minnesota so far in the city of St. Paul and what that's been like for you.
You know, I mean, even playing for Boston, Minnesota was one of my favorite places to play. I think, you know, they've always had pretty solid crowds. And I don't know, something about that DXL, I really just enjoy that arena. So playing in front of the fans now instead of against the fans has been really, really great. As far as the guys on the team, I mean, I've really gotten to know the guys on the team, and that's a big, you know, when you make a transition with teams. I was with the Blazers for 3 years, I believe. So, you know, you get used to the guys, get used to playing with them, and, you know, their little core farming off the field. So it's fun to get used to a new group of guys and, you know, start to get some on-field chemistry playing with them. And John has just been an excellent as far as, you know, an owner and GM reaching out and really communicating. I mean, my owner in Boston, I really didn't have any communication with him at all, maybe saw him once a year. So it's great to have John around. And, you know, he's been, especially through my knee injury, he's just been, you know, an excellent person calling me, so you know, checking up, seeing how everything's going. So I really joined enjoy the atmosphere as far as a little bit more of a close-knit group, I feel like.
Awesome. Let's talk about that knee injury. We've mentioned it enough times now. You know, I've noticed over the last little bit you've been going without the knee brace in practice, and you just mentioned you went to your doctor for the final time. And, you know, really, to me, probably the biggest difference, Greg, is how you were moving and running and cutting and all that sort of stuff from training camp until what you look like now. Is it suffice to say that you're you know, if not 100%, you're real close?
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty much there. I mean, I think, you know, I thought maybe I'd be 100% going into training camp, and it's just, I feel like, you know, it's not until a full year that, you know, physically you might be 100%, but the mental aspect is another huge part of a knee injury. So I think that it's maybe a combination of the physical part of it actually, you know, getting there, and then the mental part too. I dropped the knee brace in practice. I think that has the, you know, a big part to do, big influence on the mental part of it. Just not having that clunky knee brace on helps you forget about the cuts and just, you know, kind of play with your instincts out there a little bit more. But yeah, I think it's definitely getting to the point. My doctor said today that he was, you know, really impressed, really happy with my progress, and that I think he called it MMI. I don't know, maximum medical improvement. I believe that's what the term is. So good to go out there.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the mental side of things. I know, you know, I've had a few conversations with Suits about it, and, you know, all the emotions and feelings that he's going through after the initial, you know, impact of that it has on you when it happens. And, you know, it's just kind of the message, like, everything you're going through and feeling right now is a normal reaction to having a serious knee injury, and you're going to go through some highs, you're going to go through some lows. But when you get to that point when you're ready to start playing again, it's getting over that mental hurdle of this feels okay, you know, my knee is okay, I'm going to be all right sort of thing. Have you given any advice to Brock or to Suits since, you know, Brock's kind of at the tail end of it and Suits is right at the beginning of it? You've been through it. Have you had a chance to talk to those guys and kind of pass on some wisdom?
Yeah, you know, I've definitely more so with Brock, just because in the beginning of the year he was going through the same thing I was, and this is actually my second round, my second go around with a knee injury. So I've definitely picked up some tricks and learned how to do it along the way here. You know, with, I said last weekend actually, because you could see him, and I know with me after I did my ACL my senior year of high school, and so, you know, with an ACL, I feel like he could start walking within a week, something like that. And, you know, you get to maybe the 2 months after surgery, 3 months after surgery, and you start going, oh, man, you know, this feels good. It feels good. You might push a little bit. And I think those, I don't know, maybe month two to month four are some of your really vulnerable months, because your knee starts to feel better. You think that you could put a little bit more weight on it, and your muscles just really aren't ready for that. So I did say that to Suits last weekend, because you could see him itching to get back and putting weight on that thing. So
yeah,
that's really all I've said to Suits. But with Brock, I mean, you know, Brock came back, I think, pretty early from that knee injury, and it's been impressive that he's been able to play just about all the games this season so far. But, yeah, his just kind of swells up sometimes, so, you know, we'll ice before the game. And not much really to say to him, just, you know, ice it and take care of it when you can. But
yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy thing to go through, and, you know, I'm sure any advice that they can get from you is going to be welcomed on the road to recovery. Brock's just about there, but, you know, Suits is going to be a ways away. Greg, one more thing I want to touch on before we get into Stingers here is, you know, it's been a bit of an up-and-down season for the team. Maybe just, you know, give us your general overview of, you know, the beginning of the year, the middle, and where we're at now, and maybe where we need to get to heading down the stretch here.
Well, I think beginning, it's kind of interesting. I think all teams go through this. You know, some teams can find themselves clicking pretty early. Some, it takes a little while, like it has with us this season. I feel like, you know, as far as the defensive end, because that's obviously the part that I spend, you know, I spend most of my time down there. So I think our communication has been better. We've got a little bit more, I'd say, you know, faith with each other, you know, a little more confidence that our, you know, our teammates are going to have our back. And I think that goes a really long way with a defense. Obviously, our goaltending, I think, has been better in these past, you know, four or five games, six games. I think it's definitely improved. And on the whole, I mean, well, obviously, I heard you guys on the tail end of Callum's interview, and obviously he's been crushing it as of late. That always helps. But, you know, it seems like the games that we were doing really well, our defense at least gave our offense a chance where, you know, the games we're holding them to might be 3-3, it might be, you know, very close game, low-scoring game until our offense gets clicking. And once our offense gets really clicking, it's pretty fun to watch. And those guys are obviously very talented with the ball in that. So I think it's,
absolutely,
you know, I guess overall just improvement by everyone, maybe a little bit more confidence playing with each other.
For sure, for sure. A big weekend coming up against the Colorado Mammoth, a home and home series against them, and Looking forward to that. But running out of time here down, so let's get into Stingers here real quick. It's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Rapid fire. Oh, man, you got me. So I'm driving to practice right now. There's traffic all over and rapid fire here. Let's see what we can do, I guess.
I believe in you. Best appetizer, downtowner.
Oh, I like that that salad, that Finnish goat cheese salad. I'm a big one for that.
All right.
I go to calamari. If that doesn't work for an appetizer, I go to calamari. That's pretty good.
Let's remember, rapid fire here, Dom. First ever car.
It was an Oldsmobile Delta 88.
Are you single?
No.
Funniest guy on the team?
Oh, Sneaker. I think Shane Jackson sneaks in there. He's a quiet guy, but when he...
Agreed. Last movie you saw?
Oh, crap. Last movie I saw? Argo.
Favorite app
on my phone?
Yes.
Favorite app? Well, it's wintertime. I've got this app for the mountain. It tells me how much snow is going on. I like that one.
Okay. Shorts or pants?
Shorts.
Dogs or cats?
Dog.
Least favorite thing to do in the gym?
Least favorite thing, pull-ups.
Pull-ups. There it is. Greg, you got through it. No problem. Stingers was another success. I look forward to seeing you in Denver in a couple of days for a big tilt with the Mammoth.
Sounds good, Jumbo. Thanks for having me on.
So that was Greg Downing, and also joined by one of the hottest players in the league, Alec, and Callum Crawford, a guy that's just full of confidence right now. And Greg's been a very common influence on the back end. I don't think we really realized how much we missed him at the end of the year as how good he's been clearing the ball and never really does anything flashy, but doesn't make mistakes or create turnovers. So the home and home starts this Saturday against the Colorado Mammoth, and then it's back home inside the Hive. 10,000 strong their last game, expecting a bigger crowd than that coming up on the 20th. That's going to do it for us here inside the Hive. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Minnesota_Swarm, Alec_Shimke, and myself at PXP for Lax. Subscribe on iTunes. Thanks to NLL Radio, Callum Crawford, and Greg Downing. And for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.